has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Oh no, 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 no. 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 Okay, this is now, alright. Deep breath. Okay. I'm just now seeing the rumors or the reports that the Rockets have expanded their trade partner search to include Boston in a trade for James Harden, the trade to be centered around Jaylen Brown. Fucking no. No. Don't do this, Danny Ainge. I know you're listening. Don't do this.
Open, shut them, open, shut. Now, if you want that. Sean, what's up, man? It's Patrick. I'm doing lunch with the kid. And since the last time we spoke, so much has happened. Primarily that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are evolving into like, evolving into like the fucking tag team of the 90s here, the Legion of Doom. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't swear, but I'm sorry. Oh, the bow fell out? Combining that with, like, they're also getting into, like, activism, like, flirting with some Bill Russell legacy stuff here. It's pretty sick, man. I don't know about you, but I feel good about cheering for the team that is decidedly and vocally on the right side of history. Anyway, talk to you soon, Noel, and I say bye. Bye!
Hey man, I'm excited to talk some hoops with you as well today. I just woke up from a nap. I have changed a lot of diapers today, and I have been on the receiving end of tantrums from a 13-day-old child and a nearly 3-year-old child. So I went upstairs to put Will down for a nap, and I passed right out in the twin bed with him. So I'm back. I'm refreshed after I don't know how long I fell asleep there. I'm ready to talk some basketball, so let's do this.
Over 30 League, Sean Silver, Patrick O'Connor, here back with you after the new year. And to quote, what was it, Stained? It's been a while. Was that
Stained? Yeah, I mean, we started. It was Stained. It was.
Thank you.
Western Massachusetts zone. We started this podcast at the absolute perfect time. Moments before the holidays and before you had your second child.
Yes.
And then we disappeared for 3 weeks. So things are off to a great start.
The concept was, you know, Over 30 League is two dads talking about basketball despite, you know, the overall hectic nature of our lives. Just doing it however we can do it. Turns out over the last 13 days, I have really not been in any capacity to do it. It is constant around here, man. We were going to quarantine anyways after we got back from the hospital. But then after our daughter was born December 26th.
Boxing Day.
The Boxing Day, baby. So I need to do some research on Boxing Days because I really don't know what the hell it is. So I can maybe teach her the significance of her birthday. Patrick, can you enlighten us on Boxing Day at all?
I've heard people talk about it with an Australian affect to their voice. And
really?
That's what I got. So I think it might be like an Australian holiday. I could do a quick Google here. Hang on.
I was thinking like, you know, like one of
Vamp.
The, like a British thing, perhaps. Canada, perhaps. There's some reverence for Boxing Day in the Great White North. British Commonwealth countries, I think you could say.
According to Wikipedia, Boxing Day is a holiday celebrated the day after Christmas Day, occurring on the second day of Christmastide. Though it originated as a holiday to give gifts to the poor, today, Boxing Day, or Boxing Day, is primarily known as a shopping holiday. So it's the Black Friday of the Earth. It originated in the United Kingdom and is celebrated in a number of countries that previously formed part of the British Empire. Boxing Day is on 26th December. Although the attached bank holiday or public holiday may take place either on that day or 1 or 2 days later. So yeah, so it's a, because it's from Europe, it's a much more refined Black Friday.
British Commonwealth countries. So it Australia was part of the Commonwealth, right? At one point.
Yes, the sun never sets on the British Empire. So yeah.
I'll have to teach my daughter, hey, you know, let's not be selfish, child. Today is a day that we're going to give gifts to the poor instead of just giving an obscene amount of gifts to you. Although ever since she's been here, I think there's been about 700 boxes that have arrived at my doorstep every day. That is fun to break down and recycle. However,
also that won't change.
It is nice to receive a number of gifts, so I'm not going to look that in the eye. But we were going to quarantine anyways. And, we have this daycare app on our phones, you know, so when our son is in daycare, our 2-year-old, they can, you know, communicate with us. Well, we got a message, hey, one of the teachers tested positive for COVID right before Christmas, so we are shutting down for a little while. And I'm just like, oh, great. This just makes things even easier, because even when there's an option of sending him back, we do not have that option. So day 13 of Annie Silver's life, I am fried, but I'm starting to get back into hoops a little bit, Patrick. I watched the TNT doubleheader, at least some of it last night.
Sure. Yeah. Nothing's been going on with me. So that's, yeah, let's just jump right into it.
I wanted to end my spiel with like a hopeful, you know, hey, things are sort of returning to normal here. I do get to consume some basketball. Yay for me. Let's talk you.
Well, I bought a house.
Yes.
And then we lost a house. Well, we didn't lose it as much as it was stolen from us. We found a house that we really liked, put in an offer. Offer was accepted. Place did not pass home inspection.
Ugh. It's not a
pass situation. I'm sorry?
It's not like a car inspection. It's not like it passes or it doesn't pass.
Okay. This is live. All right. My wife has let me know that it's not a car inspection situation and the house doesn't pass or fail inspection. The crux of, hello. Want to come up and say hi? Yep.
Hi there.
The crux of the situation is that this house was the model home from Arrested Development, and it looked great on the inside. We saw it when it was snowing out, and when we did a quick thaw and view of the property, it was just a lot of issues. Mm. And we... The home inspection was so bad that we didn't even go in the house. There was more than enough damage for us to walk away just based on the outside, the cracks in the foundation, the cracks in the chimney, the flooded basement, and the termites. So we did not move forward. So it was a real emotional roller coaster here for the past couple of days. So I too have not really been as in tune with hoops as I should have been, or would have liked to be.
No, I can't imagine it. It sounds like, because I looked at the listing, you sent me the listing. It looked beautiful, all, you know, redone inside. And then when you told me that, I said, "Oh, well, this is great." Yeah. It's your classic. They just took a bunch of wallpaper and plastered it over all of the crap.
That's right.
And then tried to flip it. So those are always nice situations to walk into. Luckily, you had a reputable inspector and you're not going to have that problem for years now.
He referred to it as, yep, this is your classic fluff and dump.
Fluff and dump.
So things are going pretty good. But yeah, we really like that guy. Oh, and it's unfortunate, but hey, man, the hunt continues. It's like that hunt for the 18th banner.
Oh, boy. That is pretty much the one team I've kept in tune to is our hometown Boston Celtics, because, you know, that's important. I watched them. Was it they lost the Pacers or they beat the Pacers? I don't know.
They split.
Yeah. So one of the games I watched in the hospital, you know, ever since I've been kind of trying to get my bearings on what's going on here, but, you know, they're 6-3, fourth in the East. I'm okay with that start considering Kemba Walker's not there, but we're recording this on a Friday afternoon. We just got a little oh shit earlier in the day. Contact tracing for the league's COVID protocol means that Bobby Williams, Tristan Thompson, Grant Williams, basically the Celtics are going to have no front court for the next week. So this is fun. The fun realities of playing NBA basketball in a pandemic when maybe people aren't quarantining as you are and I am. You know, our lives may be relatively plain.
Well, I kind of feel like we're quarantining due to lack of resources, you know? One of the things that Sean and I talked about when we were setting up the pod today was how do we jump back into this? And I said, okay, well, we have a couple things planned out, but why don't we start with just some headlines and we'll just dive into hoops rumors and just see what's going on and react in real time. So moments before we were like, let's do a dry run of this.
Yeah.
And we popped it open and I said, Time Lord tests positive for COVID-19. And like, it's just, and it's a, this is not, the Celtics are not the only team this is affecting. No. The Sixers are prepared for multiple players to miss time due to contact tracing. When I was following like the beginnings of the story last night, Seth Curry tested positive and the team, the Sixers were still, they were leaving New York. They had already gone to Brooklyn and were leaving New York, planning to play in Boston. They landed and practiced at the facility yesterday, or they practiced in Boston yesterday and with the plan to play the game tonight. And now the front court, I believe, will be so starting center will probably be Tice, and then starting power forward and backup front court for the whole game will be Semi Ojeleye and Peyton Pritchard. And that kind of tells you where the C's are at.
Yeah, Taco's probably going to get some time going in this game against Washington. So that's always fun. I mean, you know, there's obviously a couple of ways to look at this. There's the, hey, this is really inconveniencing our cool basketball team that's playing well. And then there's the, you know, oh shit, this could be serious sort of deal.
That kind of the story with the Celtics, though. You know, couple steps forward, stumble. Couple steps forward, stumble. It's been that way since, I'm going to say, like 2011. Mini runs of things to be really excited about, and then some kind of bullshit that you just step in dog shit on the way to a job interview. It can't be avoided, but it does happen. And that just is kind of the story with the Celtics. My guess is that's the story with literally every franchise, but seeing how, you know, we live in a shining city on the hill, the NBA ecosystem just kind of revolves around Causeway Street.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, now that the Celtics and Lakers are tied from a franchise perspective, not from a city perspective, but from a franchise perspective and overall championships, anything short of ultimate triumph is going to be looked on as a failure here. So, anything that gets in the way of that, COVID protocols be damned. We want the Celtics to race out to the number one record in the Eastern Conference, blow through the playoffs, and then beat the Lakers for the title this year. So if you're getting in the way of that, we are very upset. But, you know, it's just kind of league-wide. I mean, the NFL got through a full season this year with, I don't know, some games canceled, postponed, moved back, you might say. But it didn't really put a damaging dent in anything. We didn't really see, I don't think, any football players who – got real, real sick or died or anything like that. So, hey, that's a positive for them. Kind of hoping now that things are changing a bit. I mean, most of that NFL season was played back in September, October, November. And if I think about like what I was doing in September, October, and November, not that I was going around like, you know, licking people or anything like that. But
that's much more of a summertime activity for you, Sean. Well, yes. That's way more in Boston. We lick the poles on the train during the summertime.
But I'd say that we were maybe a bit more active at that point socially, even if we weren't really active at all by regular measure. Now it's just kind of like, hey, hopefully the NBA season, you know, if only for just these guys' families and stuff, they're able to get through all this. I mean, geez.
Yeah, man, we're living through, I'm going to quote Michael Phelps in his advertisements for BetterHelp. We're living through an unprecedented mental health crisis, and that shit's no joke. It's at least when it was nice out, you had the option of spreading out like physically and also kind of like have not feeling trapped.
Right.
And it's oppressively cold. I mean, as far as we know, I mean, I've never spent a winter on planet Hoth, AKA Minnesota, but I can't imagine it's cold here, man. I can't imagine what it's like out there. A buddy of mine in college, his favorite game as a child, he's from Minnesota, would be to run outside and throw water in the air and watch it freeze before it hit the ground. So we're not living through that.
No.
Yeah. We're not dealing with that, but it's cold, man. It's cold enough to be like, to not want to take the dog on a couple mile walk. You know, this is much more of a like, couple times around the yard. And once the baby's asleep, and we're going to have to call it there, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's kind of the, I took the kiddo out today and, you know, we've been going through the potty training. Let's just say in fits and starts, sometimes it's real good. Sometimes it's not real good. But we went to a place to take a walk, and usually there's a, you know, a facility where you can use a bathroom there, like, you know, just a public restroom. Right. Not so now. So when, you have a bit of an accident, when you're out on the trail and it's like, all right, buddy, let's get you back to the bathroom. Oh, wait, no, we got to get you back to the truck so then we can take you home and then clean that up. Let's just say that the F-150 was not equipped with you know, the proper tools to clean up that sort of thing, and it was just
clean up a number three. Yeah,
it was a messy time in the parking lot. This all led me to collapse in my son's bed about an hour and a half ago and take a part of his nap with him. So that's the kind of day I'm having. Let's talk hoops.
So one thing that's jumping out of me here, I've not clicked into it, but this is good radio here. Seattle mayor, pretty optimistic about eventual return of the NBA. So clicking into this one, following a recent conversation, Luke Adams of Hoops Rumors reports, following a recent conversation with league commissioner Adam Silver, Seattle mayor Jenny Durkin is feeling pretty optimistic about an eventual return of the NBA to her city. According to Durkin, her phone conversations with Silver occurred just before Christmas, shortly after the commissioner discussed the possibility of expansion during a press conference. Sean, gut reaction on Seattle possibly getting an NBA team back?
Well, everything's coming up Seattle, Patrick. If you pay attention to the other major North American sports, you would know that they recently got the Kraken, the expansion NHL team there. So, you know, Seattle becoming potentially a four-sport major league city again, for the first time, because they used to just be, they had hoops, baseball, and football, now having hockey. Feels like, you know, that's the direction this is going. I've, you know, visited Seattle a couple of times, had some friends out in that area. Obviously the Sonics had a great history while they were there, and you know, your Pacific Northwest is a passionate basketball fan base, and it was ripped away from them 13 years ago, 14 years ago now. So, you know, I'm on board for this. I generally don't like expansion and watering stuff down. But if we're going to go back to a market or, you know, go to a market, Seattle's a good choice.
Well, I want to dig into one thing you said there as far as watering it down. Walk me through that. Why do you feel it would be watering down, and what would it be watering down? The product, the talent pool, what?
It's like, I think about the NBA of my youth, right? And our youth, and you didn't have, you know, the Charlotte Bobcats, which of course became the New Orleans,
Charlotte Hornets that became the New Orleans Pelicans. Then the Charlotte kept a team, the Bobcats, who eventually became the Hornets when New Orleans became the Pelicans.
Yes.
Bud City, baby.
Didn't have, you know, the Vancouver Grizzlies, which became, of course, the Memphis Grizzlies, another a very appropriately named team for its geographic region, to go along with the Utah Jazz, Los Angeles Lakers, and other teams. We didn't have the Raps. And, you know, the Heat, Magic, T-Wolves, and aforementioned Hornets were all kind of in their infancy. So, you know, the NBA, I kind of look at it as like, the, you know, you look at the NBA of the 80s and the NBA of the 90s, like 96 Bulls, for instance, get 72 wins. No fucking way the 96 Bulls, if you plunk them down in 1986, that team gets 72 wins. No way. Because teams had at least one more star back in that era. The rosters just seemed a lot deeper. And now, yeah, I get it. And, you know, I've been reading this great book, From Hangtime to Primetime, little plug, about the kind of explosion of the NBA culturally, internationally, and in all different ways. And yeah, there's more people playing hoops. There's more access to basketball. There's more talent coming in internationally, stuff like that. But it just feels like your classic, oh, we're adding another team. There's going to be 12 to 15 more players on an NBA roster that really aren't all that great.
Potentially, right? I mean, anything has the potential to go, you know, to get the shit under the stick. But one of the points you made, I actually think, is the reason why this expansion wouldn't be like other expansions. I'm thinking specifically of the T-Wolves. Right, where you might have some teams where they may have to, you know, essentially relegate certain players that can, you know, potentially be taken in an expansion draft. Mm-hmm. But now with the way free agency goes, there's going to be some quote unquote aggrieved party or someone who thinks that they're at a superstar level who really isn't, but is going to get paid like a superstar. And usually when that happens now, someone else is edged out, or that really limits a team for the short term, at least. Mm-hmm. Right. Think of Gordon Hayward this past season.
Yeah.
So granted, he wound up going to Charlotte. He signed. It was a financially advantageous deal for Gordo and his fam. And that's what you got to do. He wanted more touches, wanted more money. All the conspiracy theories about like Danny Ainge didn't pull the trigger fast enough with Indiana. You could say that about any trade. Gordon choosing to go to Charlotte, I think, is purely financial. And that's great. That's how most decisions should be made. I think opening up an expansion team in either Seattle or Seattle and Vegas, or or Seattle and Vancouver, or in Mexico City, or wherever they're going to put another team to even it out, because of the way free agency goes now, because of the salary caps, they're just going to be able to pull a marquee guy there who may not be on the same level as like an Anthony Davis in whatever year it comes up. Might be like the Amari Stoudemire of that year.
Yeah.
In the same year as the big three,
without the knee issues.
Exactly. That winds up going to start a team like that. You're going to have a lot more guys who are looking to extend their career or get paid a little more than what they think they should. Think of a guy like Jaylen Brown, who wound up like taking a huge leap forward, both in his level of play and in salary. I mean, I think he makes 24 a year now in Boston, which is way up there, but not as much as Tatum will make next year, not as much as Kemba makes. See what I'm saying? Where it's like, that's going to be a draw for a guy who's like, no, give me the keys. I want to be that guy. Perfect landing spot for an Andrew Wiggins, shall we say.
Yeah.
If that level of talent. I think there's going to be a lot more interest because of that. And also because of the global nature of basketball now, you're going to have an influx of talent from overseas, from expanding markets, and also the G League, baby. Like the thing that the NBA of the 90s and of our youth didn't have was the G League. And it's just going to be a great way to start funneling talent up into every single other system, which is going to make the signable free agent type of talent a little bit more easy to take a move like that, in my opinion. So I'm all for it, man. But more basketball, the better.
Maybe you see less guys going to China. Maybe they feel like there is, you know, one more landing spot or one more chance for them to play basketball in North America. So
it's just going to make it a lot harder for traditional major markets to sign supporting characters for their superstar. And like, anytime it's a little more competitive, a little more exciting, I think is good for everybody involved.
So it's just like a guy doesn't wander onto the Lakers just because that's a landing spot for them necessarily. Maybe they wind up in Seattle because they want a little more of a role than, hey, I'm going to be on the break glass in case of player for LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Well, think of a guy like D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah.
So D'Angelo Russell, he gets drafted by the Lakers, gets shipped off to Brooklyn, mm-hmm. gets shipped off to Golden State and now is in Minnesota. When that contract is eventually up, based on how his, you know, how the next couple months, seasons go in Minnesota, he might be like, no, I'm ready for the keys to the franchise.
Yeah.
I want to take over. Right. And at the same time, Minnesota might be thinking like, we're going to give the keys to Anthony Edwards, you know, and then, so now it's like, well, there's nothing but point guards in the NBA. A lot of guys can handle the ball, but for a team now you enter in another big market city like Seattle, who's going to want to like, who's needs to have like a franchise guy or a marquee guy that they can put on, you know, all of the advertising, all of the tickets, a face of the franchise. That's another place for a guy who probably deserves to be the face of a franchise to land, as opposed to, you know, someone else who Andrew Wiggins, he may wind up just being like a high paid assassin that goes to a million different teams. He's not the guy that you want to be the franchise. So he might be a guy that goes to fill that role on a team like the Lakers that's looking for like hired guns to support the true superstar and knowing that like, okay, you're the superstar. I'm doing this job. Like a much more talented and explosive James Posey.
Got it. The main question that I'm wondering though is, are they going to name this team the Sonics?
They should.
Right? There's nothing stopping them.
No. I would go back to being the Sonics 100%. The only downside of that is you don't have the Sonic throwbacks in Oklahoma City. That's literally the only downside. You name that team anything else and people are going to be like, "Why are you doing this?"
So they'll do the Sonic throwbacks in Seattle now, which means there's basically no reason to have a team in Oklahoma City at all anymore.
Yeah, but they're already there.
I can't say that I've tuned into one Thunder game thus far in my my limited League Pass viewership.
I hear Shea is really good, and I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, that sounds great.
You had a couple of things on the rundown. What do you want to
and dumping in OKC last offseason?
Yeah,
Presti and the boys. So my thing in the rundown is just I kind of had a curiosity, and I wrote a little bit about this in the hour that I had this morning. You know, in between my 13-day-old going to sleep again, and my son waking up. About dynamic duos in the NBA. You got LeBron and Anthony Davis in LA. You got Kawhi and Paul George, also in LA adjacent. Now you've got Kyrie and Kevin Durant in Brooklyn. You've got Simmons and Embiid in Philadelphia. You've got Murray and Jokic in Denver. And Boston now, with the play of Jaylen Brown, I think you can officially say that Brown and Tatum is a freaking, you know, tag team to be reckoned with. They're in the Pro Wrestling Illustrated tag team rankings, and they're going to be challenging for the belts pretty soon. So, you know, I just kind of thought about it, and it's like, well, we had the super team era. We have a lot of player movement in the league in recent years, and it sounds like now we're getting into this sort of era in the league where it's basically you get your two guys, you build a supporting cast around them, and you see what happens. But we've seen a lot of teams going the route of like, it's coming organically. It's not you're going out there and making trades to put this duo together. Yeah, I know the Lakers, Clippers, and the Nets, we just mentioned them. They all did that. All those guys were playing somewhere else 2 years ago. But like I mentioned in Denver, like I mentioned in Philadelphia, in Boston, you've still got the Blazers in the mix with Lillard and McCollum. They have hitched their wagon to these guys while they're young, signed them to long-term deals while they're young, and are building from there. And my wonder is, what is it going to take for one of those teams to bust through? The blueprint, obviously, is the Warriors, Steph and Clay.
No, it's just organic growth. I mean, for the Warriors, the big thing, I mean, you had Draymond as well, right? All quote unquote homegrown, locally sourced talent built through the draft.
But he's not your superstar, you know, like. Yeah, he's a homegrown guy, but he's not your prototypical superstar. He's
hot sauce. He's gonna enhance.
Yeah. No, he's a very, very, very good third wheel, a good enough third wheel that they could win an NBA championship with him in 2015. And then when it turned out, hey, they want to do some more stuff, we're going to go and get silly with Kevin Durant in 2016. But the path that Golden State took, like, you grew these guys, you had health on your side, obviously, that helps. And you made the money work, so you were able to get Kevin Durant when you want to. And it kind of makes me wonder, like, well, Philly, they're kind of trapped right now because they got Tobias Harris as their third wheel. That may not be enough. Denver, they're constantly looking for one. Portland's constantly looking for one. The Celtics may have one, but health might be the hindrance there if Kemba Walker has a problem. So it's kind of like, all right, well, this is great. Tatum and Brown are at the echelon of all these other duos, but what's it going to take for them to get past that?
I mean, this is not something I'm hoping for. This is not something I'm trying to put into the universe. I think what's going to take one of those duos to break through is going to be like an ACL to LeBron James or Anthony Davis. Honestly, as much as it pains me to say. It's going to have to take a massive injury to LeBron or AD. Like, I'm not hoping for that. I don't want that to happen.
You're banking on the Lakers to win it this year? You don't think that it's as wide open as I do, maybe?
No, I'm not banking on them to win. But for one of the duos to break through, like you're saying, it's going to have to be an opportunity. You know, or you're going to have to just – time is just going to have to erode the rest of the Lakers. You know, so – I mean, anything can happen. Anything's possible. And there's other teams that could get hot at the exact right time and ride it all the way through to the playoffs and get luck. Yeah, exactly. Exactly like Miami or like Dallas.
Didn't take Giannis getting hurt for that to happen last year. I mean, the Bucks were the prohibitive favorite, I think, out of the East. And you ride through and you beat a team like that, and all of a sudden you find yourself playing for a championship.
The caveat I'll throw at you with the dynamic duos you're bringing up is that they're all established duos, mm-hmm. right? So you kind of have an idea of what you're up against with those guys. A lot of those guys have been together for a while. Dame and CJ have been together for a while.
5-6 years.
Tatum and Brown have been together for a little while. Mm-hmm. Like, so you kind of know what you're getting with these duos as you're evaluating them or building your team around someone who can cut through these. What that doesn't take into account is like a Miami last year, like a team of destiny to a certain degree, mm-hmm. that they catch fire at the right time or new guys step up throughout, or you rely on different players than you planned on relying on. And an injury or a misfortune to another team opens up the chance for that team to, at the same time as they're ascending, to expand as well and just box a couple people out. It's the Dave Cowens approach. You just get in there and throw elbows, but it's ultimately opportunity driven. So I think that's what it's going to ultimately take. Now, granted, no opportunity can be seized upon unless you're absolutely ready. So it's not necessarily who can break through, but it's who is going to be in the right point at the right moment to take that leap when the opportunity is there. So I don't think a duo like Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook could do it. Well, both of them are amazing players and can individually do amazing things. But the way Tatum and Brown, I would say they are ready for destiny to carry them over, so to speak. You know, I don't feel the same way about like a Porzingis. Let's say Porzingis gets back to everything, to the unicorn status this year, yep. with Luka already being there. I don't think that's the same type of magic. Jokic and Murray, different story. We saw a hint of that last year as well.
Yep.
So they're a team that could like really go toe to toe, and then they get a huge bump from Michael Porter Jr., who's like my favorite player to watch so far, pre-COVID protocols. But yeah. Like that's the type of thing we're looking for here. That's what can carry over. Tyler Herro played that role last year for Miami.
There's your Draymond, type.
Exactly.
You think it ever happens for Philly? You think that they're waiting for destiny to wash over them, or you think it's going to blow up before then?
I think not the issue or the mistake that Philly made was they were planning for a team to overwhelm the NBA when the NBA was still built on the three types of heat in an oven. You know, like that team was built to go up against the big three.
Yeah.
You know, where you had like when Horford signed with Philly, their starting five was Simmons, Embiid, Horford, Richardson. And who's the guy I'm forgetting? Who's the four?
Tobias
Harris. That reminded me a lot, very much, of the 2011 Lakers. I think it was 2011. Steve Nash's point guard, yeah. Kobe.
2012 Lakers, yes.
2012 Lakers.
The year after they won the title, yeah.
Yeah. I was terrified of that team until we got to October.
Yeah.
Until we made it all the way through October and Steve Nash never played again. So things can fall apart. So when you have a team that's reliant on five guys overwhelming for every minute they're on the floor and then leaving the bench to basically hold the lead and the other team to be exhausted, that works. But when the team shrinks in size, you're going Luke Skywalker into the Death Star. It's easier to build a game plan around two people than three sometimes, just because the dynamics are completely different and the other team isn't built to take that on. Yeah. So I don't think it's not that it will never happen for Philly, but I think Daryl Morey and Doc Rivers are the two guys that can like make really hard decisions and really make anything work. But because they're going to be coming at it from that side, Daryl Morey is very forward thinking. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's considering stuff that we have not considered yet, while the rest of the league is playing from his playbook that he established in 2010.
But it's going to take, obviously, Embiid staying healthy, personalities to stay placated there for a while. I mean, and who knows? Will there be a James Harden trade? That's just something that kind of seems to hover over this season. But I went back, in writing, I was just like, well, who were some good duos historically who were homegrown? And it's like, all right, well, obviously Jordan and Pippen, right? Now, Pippen was drafted by the Supersonics, but there was a draft day trade. So Jordan and Pippen, Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumars. The 90s was ripe with duos. You had Kemp and Peyton in Seattle, both drafted and developed in Seattle. You had Shaq and Penny in Orlando, same sort of deal. The Charlotte Hornets were going for it with LJ and Alonzo Mourning back in the day. Minnesota with KG and Marbury. Like, all these teams back in the day were banking on two young guys drafted within 2-3 years of the other. Like, we're going to hitch our wagons here. And then we moved away from that for a number of years. We had a lot of the super team building. We had the Celtics with that veteran model in 2008. We had the Miami Heat deal for a little while, but then it seems like, Golden State building from the ground up started this again. And it made me think there's a lot of teams over the years that seemed like the sky was the limit. There was that Shaq and Penny, or there was that Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and then you add in James Harden and OKC, and it never happened for them down there. And it's just kind of wild to think that, well, we feel really good about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown right now. This is cool to watch Jaylen Brown make that ascent to all-star status. I don't think there's any argument if he keeps playing like this, but it may or may not happen.
Well, to paraphrase Chris Rock, Sean, one
no sex in the champagne room.
Same album though.
Yeah.
For one team every year, the sky's the limit. For every other team, the limit's the sky.
Ooh.
And I think with the way you got to look at this is when we have the duos, the NBA, more than anything else, if you look at it from if your main focus is football or you casually observe sports, the NBA's ascent over the past 15 years has been meteoric, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden they take over culture. All of a sudden it's just it's the perfect combination of everything going up and to the right. And in my opinion, if you only had to pick one major sport, that's the one. That being said, for people, for hoop heads like us, for hoopsters, you and I, and NBA Twitter, they're watching every single move that happens on the NBA every day. It's way more like steps. Mm-hmm. You look at the pyramids in photos, it's a triangle. Mm-hmm. You look at the pyramids up close, it's a brick wall. Okay. And it's stairs. Right. Yes. So, because brick walls, stairs. Yeah. Hey, man, look, I have a meeting in 8 minutes and I've slept 3 hours this week. So the point I'm trying to make is that when interest kind of floods into the league. So at a time where duo is really big and then interest floods in the league, teams are thinking, we got to capitalize on this now. Spend money here. Do whatever we need to do to get this guy now. You see it even still in free agency every single year. Every single year we get up to free agency and teams are like, all right, we're going to spend smart this time. We're going to really plan. We're not going to take a huge swing. And then the bell rings and everyone's getting paid. And then you're like, well, we spent everything and free agency lasts for another month.
Oh, and there's just a pandemic.
Yeah, exactly. And also a pandemic. Oh, also. League revenue's all over the place. It's just, it's kind of like they're just spending like crazy. So in that type of movement by teams influences everything the team can do for the foreseeable future without blowing up part of it and completely revamping everything, or not doing that when they should because they want to hold on to assets and then the rest of the league changes. So you brought up James Harden and in the possible trade with Philly. Maybe that happens. The thing with Harden is that whatever team trades for him or doesn't trade for him, every other team that's in the mix is going to be historically viewed as that was a mistake for not doing it. Because when you have, because in order to get Harden, you're going to have to move a big piece of your identity. And like if you're not Brown. Willing to do that, hey,
about your voice
we're not talking about the Celtics here, but like, if you don't, like, it's damned if you don't, unless you win a title for a move like that, because it's an identity changing move. And that's what fans, I think, are really hesitant to give up on. It's anyway, it all comes back to like interest and money and what the, you know, what local broadcasters can charge for a 30-second spot. But that's just me.
Ad boy, Patrick O'Connor.
Ad boy.
unbuttons the shirt a couple buttons just to show what's, you know, underneath there.
Right.
But yeah, I think I'm happy with the track that the Celtics are on. I know a lot of people, you know, have thoughts about, you know, who they wish was playing in green this year. I mean, even some people are like, oh, hey, I wish they had Miles Turner. I really, really wish they did. That's you there, you know, basketball Twitter fan. But I like what they've got. I don't think they need to shake it up. But when you're reliant on these other markets having some sort of major uh-oh, it's kind of like, oh, crap, what can they do? And maybe it's the trade exception. You know, maybe there's something that Danny Ainge can pull here to push them into that next echelon. But it'll be interesting to see. I mean, you know, like, I don't know if Portland will ever get over the hump out there. They've been to a Western Conference Finals. Denver has now been to a Western Conference Finals, you know, with that recipe. And it's just like, all right, well, who's going to take the weight? Maybe it is Porter. Maybe it's Michael Porter. So I got to check out the league pass schedule and I'd see what Denver's playing.
Allow me to make your life a lot easier.
Ah,
my dude.
Yeah.
Get some sleep tonight if you can, or whenever you can. Mm-hmm. When you wake up in that quiet moment where the house is still asleep, but for some reason you're awake, condensed view. Kiddo, like, look up like last night's games, condensed view, and you make it through a lot of games in the time that you have.
That's true. And you can see all the great plays without all of the missed, you know, 23 footers just clanging off the rim left and right.
And in league pass, you're also missing the in arena cam. Like, I don't know what that looks like now, like when there's no fans there, but you know what I mean? Like, it's, and then sample, like, consider condensed view or condensed games on NBA League Pass like a tapas board. All right, you're just sampling all kinds of little stuff. You see some highlights you really, really like. That's the game you want to watch.
Since I ain't going to a restaurant, I guess I'll start there. That will be my
small plates, baby.
For now, very nice. Yeah.
That was the backup name for this podcast was NBA tapas, NBA small plates.
All right, I think it's time for another branding change. But anyways, until next time, sir, it's been great chopping up with you today. I know you have a meeting. I got to get the kid up from a nap. It has been my pleasure monopolizing your lunch hour, and we'll talk again soon.
See you, Mike.